there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
We're out of the spooktacular time. Wind's getting colder. It's November now. It's time to start talking about Christmas. That's what you do in November.
Yep, Christmas, Jay.
It's all the days leading up to Thanksgiving, it's Christmas. Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving, then all the days after are also Christmas.
It's true. Thanksgiving lasts for 2 days, Thanksgiving and Black Friday, and then it's over.
Haunted Hayride candle away, and I got this Gross Vom Krampus gingerbread candle from Purgatory Candle Company. It's got a little Krampus on there.
I see that.
So we're going to light that up.
That's pretty cool. Maybe. He's lighting it. Man, I wish there was a demon I could wish to light this candle faster.
Oh, there we go. Maybe. Everything's on fire. I smelled the candle.
Oh, no. Well, that's it for this episode of Horror for the Holidays.
So we'll get some gingerbread going in here, and we'll, let's talk about 2020. Oh, hold on. Let's talk about 2023's The Holdovers.
Ah, yes. Paul Giamatti, ladies and gentlemen.
Set in the 1970s. Oh, no, sorry. The Sacrifice Game from 2023.
The Sacrifice Game, Jay. Well, hold on then. Can you pass me that old hat next to you?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
And that horseshoe for my lame old horse. Thank you.
Released on Shudder December 8th, 2023. Came out right about the same time as It's a Wonderful Knife. I don't know that they did it as much last year, but in recent years they've kind of done a like double Christmas release where they do kind of something fun like Christmas Bloody Christmas, and then I think they released it on alongside like The Apology.
Oh, okay.
Which we'll get to at some point. And then they did It's a Wonderful Knife. They released that alongside this. And I was like, "Oh, I kind of like that idea of doing one that's kind of silly and fun and one that's a little more, you know, serious and a little maybe darker in tone and a little slower."
And then this year they released two comedies.
But written and directed by Jen Wexler, who also wrote and directed The Ranger, which I've seen exists on Shudder and looks kind of interesting, but I've never watched.
I'll add to my list.
Evil Park Ranger, I think is the kind of theme.
Okay.
Writing credit also for Sean Radlitz, who I believe also was part of The Ranger. Mina Massoud plays Jude and is probably most famously known as Aladdin in the Will Smith Aladdin.
Infamous, perhaps. I don't know about famous, Jay.
Oh, that movie here. Fucking sucked.
Here, let me quote Will Smith singing in this movie, Jay. You ain't never had a friend like me.
It's just so phony. It's so bad. Like I said, I'm pretty sure I fell asleep in the theater when this movie was on.
You could actually hear the echo from him recording in his bathroom.
Olivia Scott Welch plays Maisie, and was Samantha in the first three Fear Street movies. So the good ones.
The good one.
Because Prom Queen or whatever was not great. I don't know. It was fine. It just wasn't. Those first three I thought were kind of revolutionary. And then for the third one to just kind of be a boring kind of by the book slasher, you kind of went, really? This is the direction we're going in?
That's right.
Chloe Levine is Rose and was also in The Ranger. Gus Kenworthy is Jimmy. Madison Baines is Samantha. Georgia Akin is Clara. Derek Johns is Grant. And Laurent Pitre is Doug. Sophia McIntosh plays Sandy, who I assume maybe that's the wife in the opening scene.
Perhaps.
But more importantly, worked along patron saint of the podcast, Simon Phillips, in The Mousetrap.
Oh, touched greatness.
Sounds like a little fat boy summer might be might be due for the Mousetrap.
That does sound interesting.
IMDb reports a box office of just $300,000, and I could not find a budget.
Well, I know it wasn't anywhere around here. As far as budget goes, I've seen various rumors ranging from 2 to 5 million, depending on who you ask, but low budget, yeah. No matter what you. I mean, I thought that was fairly obvious when they're like, okay, we're setting this at a school, but there's only going to be 5 people
here. Yeah, very, very contained. Tagline. This Christmas, raise a little hell. No, excellent tagline. I actually think that's pretty solid.
Solid tagline. False advertising. Solid tagline.
Where to watch? Shudder, AMC Plus. Buy a DVD copy from Vinegar Syndrome. They just put one out last year. Vinegar Syndrome made a deal with Shudder a little while ago, and slowly have started putting out some of their originals. I pointed out to Jeff the other day, Advent Calendar, a movie you really liked, yes, is getting a movie. Vinegar Syndrome release.
We're going to do that soon.
We will. Soon. Personal experience, the thing I said about it coming out at the same time as It's a Wonderful Knife. Clearly, we had a chance to see It's a Wonderful Knife as opposed to this, but two, we were clearly more excited to see It's a Wonderful Knife than this.
Yeah. Personal experience for me, I messaged Jay last night and I'm like, what are we watching for the podcast? He's like, The Sacrifice Game. And I'm like, all right.
And he watched it.
Yeah, and then I watched it. I live tweeted my experience today.
You did. I was. that you did.
Oh, God. I'm only 40 minutes in.
I mean, we've had worse. We've had like, oh God, weird. I'm 10 minutes yes. in.
I was going to say, we've checked movies before and we're only 10 or 15 minutes in. So.
All right. Anything else? Or are you ready to do the synopsis here?
I think I'm ready.
All right.
Couldn't find too much. Shudder kind of keeps things close to the vest when they make these movies.
Yeah, I agree. It does really feel like it. Like, I think the reason we know as much as we do about Christmas Bloody Christmas is because like Joe Bigos is very active online and stuff like that.
Very vocal on social media. But yeah, not a whole lot of behind the scenes info for this.
All right. On the screen, we see December 22nd, 1971. We see some carolers at a house. And as they leave, 4 people, Jude, Maisie, Grant, and Doug approach the house and knock on the door. A man answers and immediately gets stabbed in the throat.
Nice.
As the intruders grab his wife, hold her down, and stab her in the stomach. And then Maisie paints like a T symbol on the windows.
A spooky T.
Title card. Also, I believe was one shot. Was the tracking shot was really good.
Yeah, I liked it.
A lot of people really liked that opening shot. And a lot of the reviews I found were like, it's all downhill from there. And I'm like, well, let's not be too harsh. But it is a great opening.
Yeah, yeah.
We see Clara's eyes open as she goes over and watches Samantha go for a run around campus of the campus of the Black Veil Academy.
Jay,
as we get our opening credits.
Jay, do you think every time we see the killers ritualistically killing somebody and then it flashes to Clara opening her eyes, do you think they could be connected somehow?
Doubt it.
Okay, good. Good. Whew. I was worried there for a minute.
Yeah, some kind of satanic connection or something. No, I doubt it.
Okay, good.
We cut to class where the teacher Rose is giving a presentation on town history and witches and about how the old town burned down and the witches were to blame and the academy sits on the ground where the old town once was.
Oh boy. Here we go again.
And meanwhile, like, I don't know, we see Clara like doodling a bunch in a notebook.
Yeah.
At lunch, Samantha is going to sit with Clara to talk to her, but some girls kind of get in her way and talk about the Christmas killers and then make fun of Clara for not having any family to go to on Christmas break.
You know, like kids do usually, Jay.
Orphan.
I was going to say, if they had broke that out, that would be hilarious.
The teacher, Rose, talks to her boyfriend, Jimmy, about how she wishes she hadn't agreed to stay for Christmas.
Oh, don't forget that the sour old headmistress comes over and she's like, what the fuck is all this?
What are you looking at?
Kids having fun? Reading articles over here? That's not allowed.
Apparently, yeah, news isn't allowed.
News isn't allowed on campus.
I was like, really?
Like, half of these girls look like they're in their 20s, Jay, but they can't read the newspaper.
We're not allowed. No contact with the outside. Maybe this is a cult. Maybe.
I was going to say. Yeah, you know, if the old headmistress had stepped out at the end, and known about this the entire time.
I was waiting for some big reveal with the headmistress. I was really disappointed we didn't get one. Samantha gets a call from her dad telling her she doesn't get to come home for Christmas, and then she walks in on Clara in the bathroom cutting herself.
Oh boy.
Flashes up on the screen, two nights until Christmas. At a small, like, isolated, snow-covered church, the Christmas killers, like, go and, like, carve the flesh off of a priest with, like, two A's.
Yeah.
Like, well, like, it's like some kind of birthmark, but almost, he knew about it.
It almost looks like angel wings, like, merged onto, like, a staff or something. But yes, the priest knows exactly what's going on.
And don't, he says, like, don't release it. Yeah.
Don't let it out. Snap his neck.
So then he got this tattoo. Is it a birthmark? Is it transferred to, like, the different priests?
I'm guessing it has something to do with the unexplained sealing of the entity. We totally don't know what's going on, Jay.
And then I also love that, like, so they killed other... So potentially... Either the woman or the husband in the opening scene also had one of these tattoos or birthmarks. Woman,
I'm guessing that's what they were carving off of her stomach. They killed four people because there's four patches of skin later. And when I get into the problems I have with this movie, Jay, that's going to come into it later on when we talk about these characters' motivations for doing what they're doing.
Grant snaps the priest's neck.
Yes, effortlessly.
Clara wakes up again, and all the kids are leaving campus.
That can't be connected, can it?
And Jimmy has a ring he wants to give to Rose.
Oh boy,
I'm sure he'll get to do that.
Yeah, that always works out in these kind of movies, Jim.
Rose tries to engage with Samantha, who is mad that she has to stay, but Rose continues to, like, badger her until Samantha agrees to, like, get some supplies so they can bake a pie.
Some supplies being a bottle of vodka from the basement. Go fetch me vodka, Jay.
I did love that. Like, kids these days can't be interested in alcohol.
But don't worry, Jay. A spooky girl is wandering around down there being spooky, but I'm sure she's not spooky.
Yeah, Clara's also down there, and Samantha, like, says something, and shows, like, Samantha a bunch of books, and she's like, these are the books we're not supposed to see.
Oh, really?
Also, I loved that left the book open to the exact page we needed to be for later.
Yeah.
God, Clara's so creepy. I wonder if there's anything interesting about her.
Well, I don't know, Jay. She says she has trouble with human interactions. And when she was cutting herself earlier, even though she was cutting herself vertically, which is the way that you actually kill yourself, she wasn't bleeding at all. Just like a red line on her arm, basically.
The Christmas killers drive as Melikaliki Maka plays on the radio. And Doug, we can tell he's jealous of Jude and Maisie's relationship.
We're going to get into Doug.
And it distracts him, and they hit a deer. A cop arrives to help, but someone apparently drops a flap of skin on the ground.
Yeah, you know, just my flap of skin fell out of my pocket.
And so the cop notices it and goes to grab his gun, shoots Doug in the shoulder, but is overpowered by Grant, who, like, I think beats him with a tire iron.
Now, the way that he reacts, it seems like he got directly shot, but then later on it's going to be like, he just got wings.
And then Jude walks over, I think, with a gun, shoots the police officer in the head and says, Merry Christmas.
Man, you know. I honestly, this is one of the things that clued me in. The fact that all the cars were old, I mean, clues you in that's the 70s and the course of the date at the beginning.
Yep.
But you know what really took me back, Jay? We really are missing these days the knife-wielding, ethnically ambiguous street tough that is Jude in the leather jacket. You know, real Death Wish style character.
I was going to say, the real demon from Friday the 13th.
Jeff Goldblum in Death Wish.
Clara wakes up again after the police officer is shot, and Samantha asks if she's okay, and they go and set a table for dinner. This is where Clara then says she's not good with human interactions, and I wonder if her mom took Tylenol when she was pregnant.
She might have. What an amazing way to phrase that, Jay. Human interactions.
I'm so cold. I'm not good with human interactions. What?
Not socially awkward, or, you know, I'm not good with people, you know, any of the standard things you would say. Human interactions.
Rose and the girls, thinking it's Jimmy at the front door, answer the door just for it to be the Christmas killers. Maisie reveals that she was class of 64 at the school earlier, repeats the motto earlier that black male girls are supposed to look out for each other. Rose kind of agrees to let them into the house
again. Okay,
we get the night before Christmas.
Black veil girls are supposed to look out for each other, Jay, so I'm going to also let in four strange men.
Rose treats Doug's gunshot wound, and Maisie remarks that Clara looks familiar.
Yeah, like a sister or something.
The Christmas killers invite themselves to dinner, and Rose and the girls run as Drew just turns around and takes the turkey out of the oven, saying, "Someone go get that."
Anybody going to go get them? Or what are we doing here? Are we doing a movie?
Samantha and Clara hide in a classroom, and Doug eventually finds them, and then and overpowers Samantha, and Clara picks up the knife and is walking towards him, and then just gives it to him when he asks for it.
Yeah, of course. Well, there's a reason for that, Jay. It's almost like Clara is not allowed to actually hurt anybody. Weird.
Jimmy arrives at the Night Vale school, or at Black Vale school, right? Yes. As the National Weather Service talks about a winter storm that's sweeping through the area.
Oh, how convenient.
And he sees the car outside, knowing something is wrong. Rose is able to barricade herself in a room, but finds that the phone lines are cut. She tries to get Jimmy's attention as he gets out of his car, but it just distracts him from Grant walking up behind him and hitting him in the head with a rock.
I gotta hit him again, don't I?
And then Rose is kind of, screams, and then Jude's just able to break down the barricade
somehow, even though he's the size of your average twink, Jay.
And then just drags her along as "I'll Be Home for Christmas" plays. All the girls and Jimmy are gagged and duct taped to their chairs as the other four make a big scene about saying grace and holding hands and stuff. These are the kind of I was like, oh, that was fun. That was kind of a silly fun moment.
That was silly and fun, but it's the tone. What tone are you going for?
No, it vacillates wildly. The Christmas killers. Jude is able to. I think they reveal that they have the wedding ring or the engagement ring.
Yes.
And Jude kind of forces Jimmy to propose. And when Jimmy goes to fight back, Jude just slits his throat and then puts the ring on Rose's finger as Jimmy just bleeds out staring at her.
You want
to
know how he finds out that they have the engagement ring? Big dumb Grant wanders in.
Just found it.
I found this on the ground, Jude.
They bring the girls to a common room, and Grant comments about how Clara has been very cooperative as opposed to the other two.
Crazy, right? And this is another point where if you don't guess the twist in this movie, I have to seriously fear for your, maybe their mom was also on Tylenol, Jay, because when her boyfriend gets his throat slit and the blood sprays all over them and the food, she does not blink an eye.
Yep.
Acts like it's perfectly normal.
The Christmas killers open the girls' presents, and then when someone says it's almost midnight, they start to perform this ritual with the skin flaps and painting a big circle of blood in the center of the room, and they put on a record and light a fire. And
this is where I have to interject one thing. One piece of behind-the-scenes information that I did find was our director said she wanted to make sure that she didn't do the general cliches of a demon-summoning ritual. I'm like, you're literally sacrificing somebody by stabbing them in the heart in the middle of a big blood circle. This is textbook demon.
that's a weird way. Unless the idea is the subversion of that. That happens a little later where it's like, oh no, it's not a summoning ritual. It's a
unbinding ritual. Oh, spooky.
Whatever that could mean.
Textbook fucking demon shit, Jay. My old hat itches.
Rose is able to cut the duct tape free with her engagement ring and briefly overpowers Jude for him to punch her in the face.
She overpowers him, elbows him or whatever, jumps, misses grabbing the knife, and then gets pummeled.
He then pulls her into the center of the circle and stabs her in the chest as the electricity on the TV starts to malfunction the flames shoot up.
Have this Lamb of God. Ah.
And then the screen, it says Christmas.
Oh, boy. What a Christmas, huh?
The Christmas killers are confused as to why nothing's happened.
What happened?
Maisie goes to find the book that she tore the page out of as the storm rages outside. Meanwhile, Clara asks Doug what he's going to ask the demon for. And then Doug reveals that he wants Maisie, and she eggs him on. a bit asking what he thinks Jude and Maisie are doing right now in the basement. And they get Doug to leave the room.
She uses her incredible powers, Jay. She's got some kind of powers, I think. But no, she's basically like, "Hey, Doug, why are you such a simp? Why are you such a loser?"
Jeff, I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3 now that I finally beat Alan Wake 2 the first time. I still need to go and play it again for the alternate ending or whatever. But I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3, and I'm at the point where you can like talk your way out of boss battles, and this felt very much like talking your way out of boss battles stuff.
But don't worry, Jay. You may have gotten rid of Doug, but Gran is still staring at the fire like a caveman.
Claire then starts talking to Grant and whispers to him that hell is waiting for you. And then those words echo throughout the school as Doug and Jude and Maisie all hear it.
That's a perfectly normal thing for a little girl to be able to do, right,
Jay? Yeah, totally.
Yeah, okay.
Good. Maisie also says Samantha isn't the one they want.
How do they know that?
Claire then says she wants to show Grant something and starts doing all these jerky movements, like ripping her shirt off, and then she reveals a bunch of like scar symbols on her stomach. She grabs Grant's hand and her pupils get big, and like she holds his hand to her stomach, and then she like gets him in her thrall of some kind.
Ooh.
And commands him to let Samantha go. She's got some kind of, like I said, I think she's got like Baldur's Gate 3 bard powers or something.
I don't think it would take much to get Grant in your thrall, but.
Jude, at this point, thinking he's been possessed. Later on, it reveals that he does, and I think this is a great bit of comedy throughout.
Yes.
Of just Jude walking around being like, I'm the vessel.
I am the vessel. Of course, I'm the demon.
He starts to choke Maisie, who hits him in the head with a candlestick, and then Maisie turns around and finds the book with the page open to exactly where she needs it to be, and it says that they need the blood of the guilty to complete the unbinding ritual.
What's going on, Jay? Have they summoned the demon yet?
Jeff, I've got a shock for you. The demon's been there the whole time. It's Clara!
It couldn't have been that obviously evil little girl, could it? I just wanted to point out at this point, so we've seen Clara do her spooky monster dance and put Grant under her thrall, and Samantha still doesn't realize that her friend is not normal.
At this point, Clara then tells Samantha to leave because if she doesn't, she'll die. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and still just doesn't understand what's going on.
I almost died when she comes back later on and goes, "You're the demon." Oh, no, yeah, she just does spooky fucking herky-jerky crab dances, you know, and shows people her scarred belly, and hypnotizes them into helping her all the time. Whatever. Moving on.
Clara, with Grant still under her thrall, talks to him about him serving in Vietnam, and he tells her wish was to save his platoon mates or die alongside them. She then puts a marking in blood on his forehead and tells him to fulfill his task and his wish will be granted.
Oh, God.
Maisie reveals that it wasn't a summoning ritual, but an unbinding ritual, and that Clara lured them down there. As Clara does creepy dances, and I think, guys, I think she's the demon.
Nah, Jay, can't be.
Samantha runs outside as the snow is piling up. Jude, still delusional, carves like the T symbol into his chest, screaming, "I am the vessel!"
Of course, Jay, of course.
Doug and Maisie realize Claire is the demon and attempt to flee, but Jude confronts them, still delusional. Doug and Jude start fighting, and Jude is ready to slit Doug's throat, but Grant breaks it up and then holds Maisie, like happens his arm wrapped around her neck. Samantha runs to the guard station, and the guard is dead inside the guard station.
Oh, what a twist.
Calls the police and says, and lets them know what's going on, and then looks at a picture of the Black Veil crest and goes, "Black Veil girls, look out for each other." Fuck.
Didn't my friend just dance like a spooky monster? I guess I'll go back.
The Christmas killers awaken to find themselves tied to chairs weird demon CGI powers. They're terrible. In the dining room, and the deer's head from earlier is in the middle of the table. Interesting how they found that.
Yeah.
Jude commands Grant to free them, believing that he is
the demon still. I'm the demon. Release me.
Clara says she guided me. That would be their couple name, Clazy.
Yeah.
Clara says she guided Maisie the whole way.
This is where Maisie reveals the dumbest reason for doing this of all time. I wanted to see if it was real.
But there is one last step to set Clara free, but she can't do it herself. They have to kill themselves or each other.
Basically, as long as I don't have to do it.
Samantha grabs an axe. Also, Grant then proceeds to do a bunch of the killing, but if he's in her thrall, then that means he didn't do it of his own free will.
It's like, that's the thing is, obviously he's not really in her thrall because he breaks the control when she tells him to do something he doesn't want to do. But yes, I don't get the rule. I don't get these demon rules. And it's like, if she could just have had him do it, then why didn't he just kill him earlier?
Right.
Instead of this weird thing around the table.
He cuts off, like, they need to, like, sacrifice something. She has Grant cut off Maisie's hair.
And at first I was like, well, maybe that's the reason why she needs him alive. But then she's like, no, if you don't do it willingly, we'll just do it for you.
Right. Which,
and then so it's like, so she could have just done it.
Cuts off Maisie's hair, and then Grant, like, cuts his palm and bleeds into, like, a cup or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Doug's like, I'll do it! I'll do the same thing! And Grant just hacks his fingers off of his hand.
Once again, in classic simp fashion, Doug is willing to simp to his death for Maisie.
And then Jude says, I forget exactly what he says he wants to be, like, famous or something like that,
I said I wanted to be famous and powerful!
And then, so Maisie then has Grant cut his ear off.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's hearing me, Grant. You want to do something about that?
And then Grant kills Jude and Doug. Maisie begs to be freed. You can be with me, Grant. Like, we can do this together. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Claire's like yelling, she's lying. She always lies.
Don't do it. She's lying.
And then Grant just goes, shut the fuck up.
Doug, what did I do?
And stabs himself in the neck instead.
Everybody be quiet. I'm trying to think.
Samantha walks in, which apparently breaks part of the magic that was sealing the room.
Yeah.
Which allows Maisie to run off and get confronted by scary demon Clara. Runs through the house as Clara and Samantha argue about what to do and talk about how Clara's a demon and blah blah blah.
I can't kill her. I could just fuck with her till she kills herself.
And then Samantha says, Claire's like, what do you want? And Samantha's like, let me in. And then Claire says, then you'll have to let me out. And Maisie, like, thinks she's gotten the door open and has escaped as Samantha walks up behind her and just buries the axe in her back.
This is the dumbest sequence. I don't know, Jay. Because first of all, she's like, no, stop it, Clara. Don't do it. And it's like, she's a murderer. These people were all murderers.
Yeah, they murdered your teacher and threatened your life in front of you.
Murdered at least two people she knows of. Six people total. If they didn't, well, actually, no, seven, because they killed the cop too. And it's like, why are you begging for mercy for this woman?
No, it's nuts. But the last sacrifice fulfilled, Clara's able to leave the thing. We also get a cool shot of, like, Maisie kind of, like, bleeding out on the ground. And the blood that's, like, pooling out of her back kind of looks like angel wings, which I thought looked neat.
It looks like the symbol that they cut off of everybody.
Clara walks out of the school and kind of asks Samantha why she did it. And she once again says black veiled girls are supposed to stick together. And then they leave together hand in hand as the cops arrive.
What is this Disney Channel demon bullshit?
Credits roll as a punk rock version of I'll Be Home for Christmas plays. End of movie.
Fuck.
I was waiting, Jeff. I was waiting for some, like, big reveal, like some post-credit scene of them just, like, sitting on a beach hanging out together.
Yes. So I was waiting because there's 5 minutes of credits, which I don't know how for this movie, but there's 5 minutes of credits. And yeah, I was waiting for a post-credit scene. But no, there's nothing.
Well, Jeff, what category do you want to start with?
Oh, I don't know. Quotes, all I right, guess.
Let's do Christmas Carol's favorite quotes.
I want to go back and help him or die with him. That's Grant. You know, literally, a man who could wish for anything from an all-powerful demon who could supposedly grant you any wish doesn't wish for the Vietnam War to have not happened or that he had never gone or that his friends had, you know, survived the ambush and lived. No, I want to go back and die with him.
Samantha, Witches aren't real, but scapegoats are. They need to blame somebody, so why not make up a story about witches? Which I thought was kind of a fun, yes. line.
All this damn witch whitewashing, all those real witches escaping detection out there, Jay.
I've got three Dougs, two Judes, and a Maisie.
I've got a partial Doug for you. There's vodka in the basement. This is Samantha. Doug, now we're talking.
Doug, Maisie, did we just go on a murder spree for no reason?
Yes. Literally, some of you had no reason to do this.
Follow up for Doug. Where the hell is the basement?
Yes, I... Doug rounds a corner and he's like, oh, great, another hallway.
Also, I loved the, like, Maisie had the spell, I had the brains, Grant had the bronze, and Doug had the car.
Yes.
Oh, thanks, man.
Staring at yourself partially shirtless in a mirror, Jay, I am the vessel. It's me. Meanwhile, there's a Wednesday Addams dance going on in the next floor.
Damn it, Jude, you got blood all over the food. Jude, hey, you've had enough. You don't want to get chubby like Grant over there.
No, okay, I get it. Casual fat phobia going on in here, Jay.
And then my last one, follow up for Jude. Clara's not the demon. I'm the demon. And then Maisie, no, you've clearly lost your mind.
No, you're an idiot. Grant, we have to sacrifice something. And then Maisie's like, no, I don't want to. I won't do it. And he just grabs a fistful of her hair and chops it off.
That's the thing. I thought it was going to be. And then Doug's like, I love you even with the short hair.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So pathetic. Doug,
the ultimate so pathetic. Simp. I've never seen a simp this powerful in a movie before, Jay.
But I just loved the, like, I thought he was going to scalp her.
Mm-hmm. That would have been cool. Nah, just chop her hair off. Clara, I can't hurt him, but I can fuck with him till she kills herself. I thought that was a good one.
But then also could command Grant to kill them, which
could kind of, when we get into her power ranking, I'm going to take all this into account, because she can kind of command Grant until he has to do something he doesn't actually want to do, and then it doesn't work.
It's so weird.
So I don't know. But no, honestly, for a movie that's got some cool one-liners and stuff in it, not really a lot of memorable quotes.
Yeah. Let's do Christmas Spirit. How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills? I thought the movie felt very like 1974 Black Christmas, which it's supposed to take place in the 1970s. It's not gaudy Christmas everywhere, but like snow on the ground, you get the lights, you get a tree decorated, you get kind of some lights in some windows.
Yeah.
But otherwise, like,
I was gonna say, like, on the medium to low end for Christmas setting. But, I mean, it works okay. Christmas kills, on the other hand, really, other than the axe kill, nothing.
Yeah, the axe, the most Christmassy weapon. But, yeah, I it was one of those two where it's like, was it known that the, like, was it part of the ritual that the, that they had to take place around Christmas?
That's the thing that I don't understand. It's like, none of this stuff really seems connected to Christmas at all. Other than it being, see, and I thought that would have been a funny twist, because, you know, when the ritual doesn't actually work, I thought it would be funny if she's like, oh, it was supposed to be when Jesus was actually born, which would be like July or whatever. That would have been hilarious.
That would have been really funny. No, it was one of those where I was just like, clearly, like, I think it needed to happen on Christmas, but
they never explained why.
They never explained why. They never really spell it out. And it just like felt like, this movie could have happened at any time.
Yeah,
like,
that was my main thing about it. I was like, it's nice that it's set at Christmas. It gives them an excuse to have the school empty, but it's like the school would be empty at other times.
There's that. We're gonna evoke the name of one of our most hated directors, the Black Coat's daughter.
Yeah, okay.
I think they leave for like a Valentine's break.
Yeah,
and so like that's their excuse for the school being empty.
And it's like, it's a boarding school, so people would go home for summer break, spring break, probably go home for Thanksgiving.
They could, pulling a page from maybe one of the greatest slashes of all time, The Mutilator. They could go on a fall break.
Or hell, just everybody. It's like, this is a weekend where everyone goes home. There you go. Set them, because yeah, they never specify why this needs to take place around Christmas time.
Yeah, like it felt in Day of the Beast like it was important to the plot, and this feels like it should be important to the plot, but they don't really spell out why.
That's the thing in this movie. A lot of the plot is like implied plot. There's really not a whole lot of spelled out plot.
How about Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, the abbey that they shot it in was pretty cool.
I thought both cool the setting. School and the church from the second kill with the priest both looked awesome.
Cool setting. I mean, other than that, though, I mean, the sets are pretty standard for what you would expect for like inside a school.
I thought the soundtrack was all pretty good. I loved all the songs. I loved all the music cues and stuff like that.
Yeah, my spooky monster dance song, Jay.
The CGI looked fucking goofy as shit.
The CGI was terrible. The practical effects were sometimes good, sometimes not so good. I mean, there's a mix of both.
Because I think the fingers were practical.
Yeah.
Like, the fingers getting cut off looked great.
The finger slicing part, like when Grant slices his hand, that looked cool. But then there's other times, like, the guys, when he's clutching at his throat and bleeding at the beginning, that didn't look that good.
A lot of the like, knife kills all kind of looked very, like, looked bad.
Very Spirit Halloween.
Yep. But yeah, like,
I'd say mixed on that front, but yeah, bad CGI. Costume wise, I mean, everybody looked like they were from the 70s. So I
liked Clara's Wednesday Addams dress.
Yes, I was going to say Wednesday Addams looked like she was on point, like usual.
Or what? Orphan kind of also was reminiscent of Orphan.
I mean, really, though, no like notable outfits or anything. I mean, our ethnically ambiguous knife wielder, Jay, he had a cool leather jacket like they all do.
Yep. And they all need a cool leather jacket. Yes,
some kind. It doesn't matter. Okay, is he Italian, Jay? Is he Arab? Is he Spanish? Who knows?
Who knows? Could be anything.
But he has a knife and he holds it up to your throat and threatens you.
Broken bulb, brilliant bulb. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Broken bulb. Give these characters some motivation. We need some writing in this movie. These villains, all but one of them does it for no reason, and the one that has a reason is like got the dumbest rationale for what he's gonna do with the wish. And they all do this on the word of a lady who says that she saw this back when she was in school 10 years ago or whatever. However it's long, it's been like
in a book
years
she
ago.
Ripped a page out of a school she's been kicked out of.
It's like, and so this was your motivation for doing this entire thing?
I want to see if it was real.
I think we could have used some actual motivations for the characters. We could have used a plot that made it clear why this needed to happen around Christmas time, because it seems like that's just kind of incidental. I think we could have used some... in some cases, I thought the dialogue worked and was good, but in some cases, the dialogue was really bad. Like, a lot of Clara's lines are really, like, melodramatic and weird. Mm-hmm.
There's a really good idea here. Yes. The execution not the best.
The execution on the writing side, I think, kind of lets this movie down.
Mine's kind of in that same way. I wish the reveal had actually been surprising.
No, don't get me started.
But it was just so obvious something was up with Clara from like the word go. Maybe people who aren't like attuned to the horror genre might have been surprised by this, because I have seen people online be like, stay for the twist. Oh, what a twist. What a surprise. It's like, how? No, how were you surprised by this?
If you watch any kind of movie, I don't think they could have possibly telegraphed this twist any harder. Literally, she's like, it's almost like she's dreaming every time you see the killers doing something bad, and then her eyes open and she acts super creepy. And there's the whole, I don't do well with human interactions, Jay. Oh, I'm cutting myself, but I'm barely bleeding at all.
This felt very the thing in movies. If you see a character cough up blood, they're gonna die. If you see a female character puke, it means she's pregnant. Like this, yeah. this is right along with those reveals in movies.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like those cliches. Like this felt so cliche. And by the way, and I was, all the people talk about the twist, I was waiting for it to be something else.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, no, I have to be wrong. There's got to be like a double twist or whatever. She's like, it turns out that Samantha is really the evil one or whatever, and she's just like a creepy goth lady.
I had, like you said, the headmistress would have been a great reveal if she like walked out and she's like, no, I'm the demon. She's been my familiar or whatever.
Or even if, like, she was the one that was holding the demon there or whatever, like, at the end, Samantha axes her and she's like, now you're free. And then the headmistress could be like, actually, no, she's not. She's still bound here because I've been torturing her for all these years.
Or the, or I thought, do a saw.
Yeah.
And have it be Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this whole, you watch Rose get stabbed. Rose has been controlling Clara this whole time. It's all this obfuscation. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, at some point it's like Clara's the demon. And then, like, Rose's head, like, snaps up and she's like, no, I am. Like, would have been great.
I almost wondered if it was going to come back and the boyfriend wasn't going to actually be dead. And he had to propose to her or whatever, because maybe that had something to do with the ritual or something like that. It had to be two people who were going to be joined in love or something, like that. But no, he never comes back either.
Yeah, but yeah, I was like, please let it be something that it's obviously not. And it just was.
It was the thing.
But Brilliant Bulb. I thought the movie looked beautiful. I thought it was well shot. I thought the sets were well designed. It reminded me of Black Christmas 1974. Like, it felt like the Christmas set of the 70s. I thought the school was cool location. I thought, like, all the shots they did inside the school looked really good. Like, really competent, I think, both camera work and set design.
My Brilliant Bulb was the concept. Obviously, we talked about the execution not being good, but I think this is a really solid concept that could probably be done better, having it be like, oh, you know, we thought we were doing this to gain power from this demon or whatever, but it turns out that the demon was just using us to get itself free, and, you know, we weren't actually summoning it. Or the other thing I thought is, maybe it's like, we do this idea, but then it's like, oh, wait, this isn't actually the right time, because Christmas isn't actually when Jesus was born or whatever, so the ritual's not going to work.
Yep.
Some kind of twist like that.
That would have been really funny. Or if there was no demon. I thought it would have been really funny if the twist was like, oh, no, they think the demon's been summoned, and maybe Jimmy is alive, and he's picking them off one by one, and they think, oh, it's the demon. The demon's out, like, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then, like, Jimmy reveals himself to be alive, and he saves the girls or whatever.
It's like, this is a concept that could go in so many different ways, but they chose to go in one of the lamest ways with it.
The most obvious possible way.
But, you know, that's why I asked you to pass me my old hat at the beginning of this, Jay, because despite the director saying, oh, I don't want to make your average demon movie, we pretty much got our average demon movie.
Unfortunately. final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff.
I was teetering on the edge here because there's a lot of goofy shit in this that could make it ho-ho-hilarious, but ultimately I had to go with You'll Be Sorry. If you've seen even one other demon movie, you could pretty much predict 90% of this movie. Some of the performances are pretty good, but some of the performances are pretty bad. Like we said, hit or miss dialogue, hit or miss effects. This is really not something I would recommend to the average viewer.
I did seasonally scary. My reasoning being, I Trapped the Devil a weak seasonally scary, and I think this is a better version of whatever I Trapped the Devil was trying to do.
Okay.
Like I similar vibes, everything like that. I just think this did a better job with I Trapped the Devil of like the demon possession, isolated snow, all that shit. I just thought this was better than that.
I wonder what I gave that one.
I think you gave that a You'll Be Sorry as well. You hated that one.
Okay, good. I'm staying consistent then.
I, like you said, I think the actors were solid. Not great, but they all some of them were very good, some of them were competent.
Yeah.
I thought the setting was awesome. I thought, like I said, set design, camera work was all great. I think it had a great Christmas feel. Like, overall, I just wish that big reveal had literally been anything else.
Yeah.
Anything else, and I would have been happy.
I was really hoping for it, because I'm like, surely this can't be it. When they're like, oh, Clara's the demon. I was like, well, yeah, obviously, but what else? Because, yeah, because when I just looked it up to see where to watch it, people are like, oh, the twist.
It's like, is the twist going to be that she's a demon? Yeah, the twist is that she's a demon.
Yeah, wow, crazy.
I just felt so let down.
I know.
Like,
I think, honestly, that's what pushed me over the edge into a You'll Be Sorry more than anything else, was just the disappointment of the twist being so mundane.
So, just so telegraphed. Like,
yeah. Oh, well.
Well, Jeff, did you stop to think maybe we're wrong? Maybe we're getting close for Christmas.
We might be, Jay. We might be.
This will be fun because you and I kind of have different opinions on it.
It's true.
So it'll be fun to kind of see the opposite sides of the reviews, I guess. I want to start with one from your favorite. What are your favorite things, Jeff? RogerEbert.com. Nick Allen wrote the film screenplay. Proves strongest when it can be as bonkers as it likes and lets a few of its characters take over with pure dramatic force. Which, okay, I kind of agree with that.
That's not terrible.
The film's best parts are saved for the must-not-be-spoiled twist later in the story.
Oh, my fucking God.
When it gets past some stiff line reading and clunky backstory reveal.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah, someone at RogerEbert.com is like, I didn't see the twist coming.
Oh, Jesus. Well, if he was still alive, I'm sure he would have done the exact same fucking thing. They're keeping his spirit alive over there. Maybe that's the demon they were trying to summon.
Maybe I summoned him by calling him, Robert Egert?
Robert Egert. You've unlocked the secret phrase to bring him back.
All right, do you want to
put up his original Alien review, you cowards?
All right, I got two more.
All right, I guess we'll start off then on the 5-star side. Had to pull a few of these. A devilishly good time. Oh my! From Reddit, of course. Ugh. Finally, a Christmas horror film that gets it. Jen Wexler wraps satanic panic, girl school goth, and 70s grindhouse energy into one gloriously twisted present. The production design drips atmosphere. The cast sells every shriek. And that final reveal, chef's kiss perfect. sorry, Jay. The Sacrifice Game isn't about cheap scares. It's about mood.
Yeah, because the one cheap scare looks fucking awful.
Mood, myth, and the monsters we invite in to Christmas dinner. 5 stars. And I'm still humming that eerie final note.
Huh. All right.
Okay. There you go, Jay.
Two out of ten.
These are your people.
Not worth your time. The opening scene clearly tries to position this movie as Grindhouse, only the rest of it isn't. So why do that? Plus, the very first scene makes it clear this could have been a good movie if talent was involved. The acting and directing is terrible. I think the actors were fine.
I wouldn't say terrible in most cases. There's a couple people. I mean, honestly, if I had to be honest, Clara kind of lets this down a little bit, especially when she's the demon.
Yep. And there is way too much talking that goes on and on and on for like 30 minutes. I mean, sometimes that's just movies, dude. It's not all action all the time, sadly. It's not scary in the slightest, and the plot meanders and meanders until you just want to take a nap and hope it's done. The twist is dumb. Hey, I agree with you on that 100%.
It is dumb.
I find the two great reviews here ingenuous.
Yes.
I can't see how anyone can watch this movie and think that it's good unless they have some hidden motive, like being involved in the movie.
Okay.
You're
saying that the hundreds of thousands of positive ratings are all for people involved in the movie?
Apparently. This guy probably thinks that, like, the Snyder Cut was review bombed.
Oh, boy. 1 star. Boredom is the real demon. I waited 90 minutes for the demon and got a lecture on sisterhood, boarding schools, and how to waste great actors. Imagine Black Christmas if everyone talked about the ritual but forgot to actually have one.
Yeah, that's fair.
I've seen haunted fruitcakes scarier than this. 0 stars for false advertising and 0 stars for terrible demon CGI. Was this made in 1923 or 2023?
Strangely, I agree with a lot of that.
I don't know if I'd give it a 1 star.
Right. But I think this is better than a 1-star movie.
I would say, honestly, for me, it is a You Will Be Sorry, but it's more on the, like, 2.5-star side.
Right.
Whereas if it had made it up to 3, it would be a ho-ho hilarious.
3 out of 10. Just not my kind of game.
I mean, fair.
Like other reviewers have already stated, the Sacrifice Game has an enjoyable Grindhouse-esque opening scene, sadly loses its track quickly and is marred by too many boring scenes filled with mundane dialogue, blah blah blah. Disagree. I think there's some gold in that dialogue. Offering momentum that perhaps only a tortoise or a snail might find somewhat satisfying, maybe. The humor also falls flat. The production is somewhat okay, the acting improvable. If you're expecting something along the bloody lines of Machete Kills, Hobo with a Shotgun, or Planet Terror, you will most likely be heavily disappointed. Neither the production, the action, the violence, or gore, nor the characters are able to sustain the fun. Overall, it's a rather disappointing affair. Which I thought that was more middle of the road. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess 3 out of 10 is probably fair.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would say, honestly, from what he said, I'd say that's more of a 4 or 5 out of 10.
Yeah. But yeah.
No, I could see where he's coming from. The demon was worth the wait. 5 stars. heavy disagree, but okay.
Yeah.
Look, if you're here for buckets of blood, you'll get them. I will.
You will?
If you're here for a mean streak, you'll get that too.
What? Does that mean the mean one shows up running naked across the screen?
If he had, that would have been amazing.
Ah, give me that movie.
If you're here for a movie that will knock your socks off, you'll get it.
Well, it certainly doesn't do that. My socks were firmly on the whole time.
My shoes were on. I was at work while I was watching this. But the real thrill is how it builds. Slow, simmering, until Clara turns the tables and hell finally comes home. The reveal made me yell, hell yes, at my TV. God damn it. These are the kind of people they're making this shit for, isn't it, Jay? 5 stars and a pentagram. Best Shudder drop of 2023.
I don't know about that.
They're really burning Jay's buttons now.
Oh, boy.
Might as well just stamped a wonderful knife. Sucks. You got any more?
No, I'm all out.
Satan called. He wants a rewrite.
I mean, probably could have used one.
The devil clearly read the script and said, nah, I'm good. The movie spends 80 minutes pretending something spooky might happen and then reveals the big twist. It's a big surprise secret. The girl's evil. Shocking if you've never seen a movie before. 0 stars. My popcorn experience, more character growth.
I just, like I said, literally could have done anything. And I think I would have been, as negative as you and I are about it, like, mm-hmm. I think you and I both found it somewhat enjoyable.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I didn't hate it, but yeah.
And yeah, better than I Trapped the Devil.
Yeah.
But yeah, just.
This is my ridiculous. Final one. Manson Family Light. We get a gang of cult killers who think they're auditioning for a Scooby-Doo version of the Manson family. Every death is off-screen or obscured. Every scream feels rehearsed. The demon reveal is softer than a marshmallow peep. Bring back practical gore. Get rid of CGI. Enough whisper acting and mood lighting. If this is a throwback, throw it back further into the dumpster.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I found myself going like one, you know, like we've said, you know, better than I Trapped the Devil. I honestly kind of does the same thing Long Legs does, mm-hmm. very same, like, I think kind of predictability. I'd watch this before I'd watch Long Legs again.
Oh, I'd watch this before Long Legs. Yeah. But no, honestly, this is what I actually said earlier is what I said when this movie was ending, when she kills the girl and frees the demon and they walk off holding hands or whatever. I'm like, this fucking Disney Channel bullshit just wasted an hour and 40 minutes.
If the music had started and it was just let it go, let it go.
I was like, I was going to message you instead of an episode of Wednesday. I was going to be like, well, let's see what happens next week on That's So Raven.
It's the future. I can see. All right. Well, Jeff, where does Demon Clara rank on our naughty list?
I don't know because she can't actually kill anybody. And her power only works, I guess, if you're wanting it to, because Grant wants to use it to get his wish, but then when she asks him to kill Maisie, he's like, nah, I don't think so.
it's so weird. Granted, maybe could kill the people, but it wouldn't count. But then, like I said, if Grant's possessed, then those kills shouldn't count anyway. So weird.
And I guess if you're saying that it's an all-powerful demon within the confines of where it's bound, then just leave the school.
I was waiting for a thing where maybe, like, let's Doug and Jude, like, fight it out, like, amongst mm-hmm. the two of them, especially after, like, Doug has his big, like, I love you, Maisie, like, thing. Like, tosses them the knife. Maybe Jude overpowers Doug, maybe vice versa. I honestly, I think it would have done, like, Doug is able to kill Jude. Like, he's finally able to shut up the guy who won't fucking shut up.
Yeah.
Just for then Grant to stab him afterwards. Yeah. I think that would have been so much better.
That would have been way better.
And we just didn't get that at all.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm not... It's this movie suffers from a bad case of not knowing what tone it wants to have.
Yep. Now, I that's the thing. I've got to put it pretty low. Like, I'm clearly more powerful than Terrence Shade.
Yeah. I mean, anybody's more powerful than Terrence
Shade. I guess. I maybe as manipulative as the kid from Better Watch Out.
Maybe I don't know.
Not as.
I was gonna say. I think the kid from Better Watch Out would have done a better job of getting this ritual done than this demon.
True, that kid was insane. Maybe we'll put her like just below him or something.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm an all powerful demon, except for I have to follow all these rules, and I can't actually hurt you if I want to be free. So there you go.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage day.
No, Jay, don't sacrifice me. You don't need to die with your friends back in Desert Storm. Just wish that it never happened. No, Jeff, I have to die with them. That's the only way.
Would that be the most embarrassing one to have been like,
yes.
All my friends died in this
Desert
war.
Storm, yeah, the one where we barely had any casualties. Yeah, that would have been...
My whole platoon was just playing grab ass. Yes.
My platoon was the one platoon that got wiped out in Desert Storm. And it's because we accidentally removed the safety on one of the artillery shells that we were sitting next to.
We were all just fucking around, and it just accidentally blew up and killed my whole platoon.
Jay accidentally pulled the pin on all of his grenades.
Hey, guys, catch! real like, Zoolander gasoline fight.
Yeah.
It's not often that all your friends die in a freak gasoline fight accident.
No. And you know what? I don't wish that we'd never played with gasoline, Jay. I wish that I'd gone back and burned to death with them.
All right, Jeff. Well, I've been saving these for a little while.
Oh, boy.
We got Swedish Fish and Sour Patch Kid glow-ups.
Oh, boy.
They're supposed to be blacklight reactive.
Oh, let's see.
And we've got those blacklights in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we do. Oh, there they are.
Oh, God, look at that cum stain everywhere.
Ah, jeez, Jay, come on. In the studio? You got a whole house.
You should see what the rest of the house looks like. God damn it.
Jay's like, my room looks like a Jackson Pollock painting.
All right, there's some Swedish Fish.
Okay. How fossilized are they?
I think they're only a couple months old.
Okay. Yeah, they don't feel too bad. That's a couple years old. Yeah, they are reacting.
Oh, yeah. Look at those little, like, green. Oh, shit. The
radioactive fish, Jay. They're radioactive in my hand. Now I'm dying.
Radioactive. All right, here, let me give you some SPKs.
Oh, yeah. Are they reacting?
They just... I don't know. They just do a little bit.
Oh.
I do like the the Swedish Fish color. I like that green kind of popping.
Yeah, the Homer Simpson uranium look. I like it.
All right, let's... Which one do we want to try first?
Do the fish.
All right.
We're hitting the fish.
Let's fish it up.
Hmm.
I think they're supposed to be strawberry watermelon.
Hmm. Getting watermelon for sure. Hmm.
One thing I will say, I don't think these are bad at all.
No, not bad.
And Swedish fish, you get a bag of Swedish fish, unless you get the mixed fish, they're all going to be one flavor. I was really hoping the Sour Patch Kids would at least be different flavors.
Yeah.
But I think they're also all supposed to be strawberry watermelon.
Yeah, they all look the same. But yeah, not bad.
And I think that's a pretty solid strawberry watermelon flavor. Certainly strong on the watermelon, like you said.
It's a solid fish, Jay.
All right, let's give this a try.
All right, let's eat some kids.
Rom, rom, rom.
Hmm.
I really do like Sour Patch Kids. I don't know. I think these are better as Swedish fish.
Mm-hmm. I have to agree. Flavor's better as fish.
Not bad, though. If you see these, I think pick them up.
Yeah. A mild recommend, I would say. Don't go out of your way. if you see them.
Yep. All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. Maybe get those.
Yeah, maybe. I'm totally not a demon. He needs people to buy Swedish fish to be released from my prison.
When the final Swedish fish has been bought, Jeff can be released into the world.
Oh, no. Now I gotta do stuff. I preferred it when I was just in every class picture.
Oh, that was the fun. All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, I don't know, tell us that this movie was actually, the twist was really good, actually.
It was a great twist.
Or, yeah, I guess that's probably the biggest takeaway, is that the twist was good, actually, and we're stupid. Send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe. Hit the bell so you get notified when we post new videos over there. Leave us comments. It's a good place to talk to us. 5 stars on all the podcatchers. 0 stars if you could.
Yeah, make sure to title your review 0 stars if I could.
Yep. That way we know you're a real sicko and actually listen to this trash.
We only want to read 5-star reviews.
Yeah, we're not. If you got something negative to say, put it in a 5-star because we're not reading anything lower.
Yep. We're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. Go check them out. They've got all sorts of great stuff. We were just on an episode of Totally Rad Christmas. So if for whatever reason you like what we do, go check out Totally Rad Christmas.
Yeah.
Give Jerry D some love. Yeah. I believe was on a couple podcasts on the Christmas Podcast Network were on the Sirius XM recommendations for Christmas podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Jerry D was one of them. Totally Rad Christmas was one of them.
So. Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats to all those guys. We weren't.
Oh, really, Jay? I can't believe it.
I find it a shock.
They wouldn't recommend our trash.
they're like, now if you want the worst Christmas podcasts, here it is.
Yeah, Horror for the Holidays, number one. But you have heard of us.
Good. There's no such thing as bad publicity, I've been led to believe.
Yeah. Ask Harvey Weinstein.
He's doing great. Making Black Christmas 2006.
That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, a movie about girls in peril? No, it couldn't be a Weinstein production.
Don't worry, his brother's back.
Yeah, otherwise, next week we doing a stocking stuffer?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so tune in next week for a stocking stuffer, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks with potentially a Thanksgiving-themed movie.
Ooh.
A different movie about a girl left alone at some kind of break.
Yeah. She's left alone at a school, and this gang of killers shows up to kill her, Jay.
Yep.
But it turns out she's a monster.
No. But no. Yes, otherwise. Otherwise, yeah, I thought it was really funny that the movie, I was like, oh, this is what we should do for Thanksgiving, kind of mirrored this movie in a lot of ways.
I don't want to just do the same old thing, Jay.
So if, listeners, if you have any clues, I don't know, drop them in the comments. Let us know what you think it might be.
And let us know if you could figure out who the hell the demon in this movie was supposed to be.
No idea.
Still don't fucking know who the hell the demon was.
Made it through the whole... I think it was the...
I think it was Jude.
I mean, he did walk around saying he was the vessel the whole time.
Yeah.
That would have been more interesting, too. Have Jude do that, and you go, oh, maybe Jude is the demon, and then have a reveal.
Nope. You already know who it is before he ever does that.
What if it was the, what if it was the security guard?
That would be hilarious. Now that would be a twist.
I've been doing this the whole time.
Oh,
the last part of the ritual was Jimmy leaving me those gingerbread cookies.
Ooh. Twist.
That would have been great. Anyway,
M. Night Shyamalan pops on. What a twist.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer. Bye.
Goodbye.